You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers every Monday through Friday. Your team every day. That's what we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Check us out also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us there and follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, where every Friday, typically, not this Friday, but most Fridays throughout the season and the offseason all year round, we have our weekly Friday mailbag, where I answer your questions as it pertains to your Carolina Panthers. So go ahead and get those questions into me now for next week and immediately following tonight's game, as the Carolina Panthers are going to start out the season 3-0 as they face off against the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. I'm not jinxing it. I hope not, at least. On today's show, it's our weekly crossover episode with the host of the Opposing Teams podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, which means I'm going to talk to Cody Davis and John of the Locked On Texans podcast. And also, I don't really think I have John's last name. Didn't get it either way. Going to hear from those guys here in just a moment following this message from Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box that I know we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
And Julian, I'm just going to jump right into it, man. Look, Sam Darnold has looked like a completely different quarterback than he has looked like in New York. Can you please explain to myself and the listeners what has been the key to getting Sam Darnold into the player that we have been seeing over these first 2 weeks?
Well, the key is him getting up out of New York, obviously. Look, going into the offseason, when they made that trade, I was firmly a Sam Darnold skeptic. Now I still am. Mm-hmm. I've been telling people I'm going to need to see it at least the first 8, 9, 10 weeks before I make any sort of determination on whether this dude is actually good enough to be a franchise quarterback here in Carolina. He's got a 2-year deal. They picked up the 5th-year option. So he's basically here for 2 years on $22 million, $11 million per year, which is less than what they've been paying Teddy Bridgewater had he stayed here for this season as well. But he's now in Denver. But having Christian McCaffrey, that certainly helps. The best running back in the league. Having Robbie Anderson, who he played with in New York, that helps.
I mean, did you say Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in the league?
Last time I checked, when he was healthy for a full 16-game season 2 years ago in 2019, he had 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. Only two other dudes have done that, Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk's in the Hall of Fame. Roger Craig probably should be in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I love Derrick Henry. Don't get me wrong. Like, I was in Nashville covering the Titans before I moved back home to Charlotte. That dude is good. He can't do some of the things that Christian McCaffrey does in terms of receiving the ball in the backfield. Now, he'll run over you all day long. El Tractocito, that's why they call him that for a reason. I like Derrick Henry, but in terms of versatility, best running back in the league, in my opinion, I might be biased, obviously, being from Charlotte, covering the Panthers, but it's Christian McCaffrey. Having that dude he can dink and dump down to be a security valve, and have Dan Arnold, who they brought over from Arizona as his tight end, a red zone threat. Ian Thomas has played pretty well so far to start the season. Having general weapons and Joe Brady as your offensive coordinator is a lot better than having Jamison Crowder, Le'Veon Bell, who's washed, and Adam Gase as your head coach. So far we've seen it's been more of the Jets than Sam Darnold, although he played the Jets defense, which is trash, and then the Saints were missing some key defensive players this past week. Not going to take anything away from him at all. He's looked really good as taking care of the football outside of the wild interception he threw on Sunday against the Saints, which it was the only reason the Panthers even gave him a touchdown at all, because it put the Saints plus territory. Then he had the fumble at the goal line week one against the Jets. But other than that, he's taking care of the football. He's been efficient, and he's got the ball to his playmakers. All said, for the first couple weeks, I like what I've seen. Still want to see more, especially as they head to their first road game on Thursday night against Houston.
Now, you did mention McCaffrey is the best running back in the league when healthy, right? He's healthy now.
Yeah.
But on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints, the Panthers are only able to rush for 2.7 yards per carry. Is that going to be a concern for tonight's game? Or did you guys just go up against a better defensive front? You're also going to be without right guard Pat Elflin. I hope I say his name correctly.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I'm glad you bring that up, though. Like, the Saints have a good defense. The secondary, not having Marshawn Lattimore, not having C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that certainly hurt them. Up front, they pretty much had all their guys except for David Onyemata, who's still suspended. I don't remember what he did, but he's suspended by the league for a couple of games. If he would have been in the game, that would have certainly helped them. But they were pretty good and stout on the defensive line there in New Orleans. Well, the Panthers, one of the big question marks coming in the season was the offensive line. You bring up Pat Elflein. PFF, Pro Football Focus, y'all know who they are, rated him and Cameron Irving, his buddy right there at left tackle, as two of the worst offensive linemen over the last 3 years in the NFL. And those were the two first free agency signings by the Carolina Panthers. They were priority signings. Elflein has been terrible. Week one he was. He got hurt early in the game on Sunday. He gave up four pressures week one against the Jets. The New York Jets. Come on, man. So him being out is actually not a bad thing for the Panthers. Dennis Daly has been seen as the sixth starter for Carolina on the offensive line. Him standing there at a left guard where he's actually better suited. He started at right guard for John Miller week one when Miller was out with COVID. Played well there. Going to a more natural position for him. That will help out. So depending on what the Texans have on the defensive front, it could be another issue for the Panthers. But I think with John Miller at guard, and then bring in Dennis Daly, Irving's actually played fairly well so far. Then Taylor Moten, who just got handed the bag before the season started, and Matt Paradis at center, who's kind of been iffy. They should be better running the football against the Texans tonight in Houston.
Julian, you know, the biggest story surrounding the Carolina Panthers right now is this team defense. And I just need to know and just need to ask, is this defense for real? Because you guys have looked good through the first 2 weeks of the regular season, but you got to keep in mind that you guys played against the New York Jets and you played against the New Orleans Saints, who that team isn't a scrub, but you also got to keep in mind that was a team that lost so many of their coaching staff due to COVID. So do you believe this defense is for real?
Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off. Before you hop in, I do want to say last year the Panthers had about, 11 rookies on the field, or they had the most rookie snaps in the entire league. That was Phil Snow's first year as defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm looking at it now.
You guys are another year in the league with these young players. They look damn good.
I mean, last year, Derrick Brown, 7th overall out of Auburn, started every single game. Jeremy Chinn played out of position at linebacker. He's now back playing his more natural position at safety, even though he's played a lot in the box, as Phil Snow has asked him to be multiple and versatile and go out there and blitz a lot of times, especially on Sunday before the end of the half. Blitz three straight times going up the gut. But, yeah, I think this defense is for real. If you go back to last season, from weeks 11 through 17, the Panthers defense ranked 6th in total yards allowed, 9th in total points allowed, and 7th in sacks per pass attempt. 8 of the 11 defensive starters from week 16's win on the road against Washington are still on the roster. Then you add in Daquan Jones, who's been a solid player at defensive tackle the last 6 seasons with the Titans, as they've gone from a team, as y'all see, that was terrible, to being a perennial playoff contender and a team that played an AFC title game not too long ago. They add in A.J. Boye, who will finally be active tonight after serving a 6-game PED suspension, had to miss the first 2 games this year after missing 4 last year when he was with the Broncos. And then you draft J.C. Horn, who's a dog and has been fantastic so far at the start of the season. And Hassan Reddick, who had 12.5 sacks last year, already has 3 sacks. So, yeah, this defense is for real. And some of the area concerns I have were, like, at safety. Guys like Sean Chandler, who most people don't even know about, UDFA out of Baylor, has come in and has actually been a pretty solid player for the Panthers so far. Shaq Thompson, that middle linebacker for the Panthers, is playing out of his mind through the first 2 games. He's one of the leaders defensively. I love what I've seen from this Panthers defense. I was excited about them coming into the season. Hassan Reddick even said it after the game on Sunday. He thought that they would be good. He didn't expect them to be good this fast. and what they've done against the Jets against that rookie Zach Wilson and what they did and made Jameis look like Tampa Jameis on Sunday, I'd be concerned if I'm y'all going up against another rookie quarterback in Davis Mills who didn't really look all that great put in a situation there in the second half on the road in Cleveland on Sunday.
I'm sorry, I was muted. But, yeah, we're definitely concerned with the issues we have here at quarterback with our Tyrod Taylor. And looking at the amount of bodies, key pieces that Houston lost on Sunday, I do want to transition a little bit to the special teams before we move out of here. You guys did allow nearly 32 yards per return to Saints returner Deontay Harris. And Matt Rhule did not like that. Like that at all. Is that going to be an area of concern? Is that something that we can kind of win the special team battle for tonight's game? Because we got Andre Roberts who fumbled on Sunday, but he is a good special team, a special team returner specialist throughout the course of his career in the league. And I'm looking for any checkbox we can check off to get a win against you guys in order to have some type of positivity for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about this in a moment, too, because I do have special teams questions for y'all with Joey Sly, our former kicker now playing there in Houston and looking fairly solid after he lost all confidence here a couple weeks ago in Carolina. But, yeah, I think Matt Rhule said that especially the kicking game specifically has been woeful through the first two games of the season. Football Outsiders has Panthers bottom three in special teams to start off the season. So, yeah, that might be an area of concern, the kicking game, especially Zane Gonzalez. Matt Rhule said he chose accuracy over leg strength. Meaning he didn't have any touchbacks. He had no touchbacks on Sunday in his debut with the Panthers. So there's going to be opportunity, certainly, for the Texans to be able to return kicks tonight. Punt game-wise, Joe Charlton's actually been a pretty good kicker. Was really good last year as a rookie coming out of South Carolina. Expect him to do pretty well again tonight and throughout the season. And then outside of that, we'll see how they do in terms of kick covers. But last week against Deontay Harris, he's certainly one of the better kick returners in the NFL. Was not all that inspiring, although it didn't really matter because the Saints could do nothing offensively against this forming Panthers defense. Hi, back here on Locked On Panthers and on Locked On Texans for our weekly crossover episode tonight. Thursday Night Football, 2-0 Panthers going up against the 1-1 Houston Texans. Now, let me ask you boys, John, Cody, going into this game, I thought we were going to see Tyrod Taylor after what y'all did week one against Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and the Jaguars. There was kind of those thoughts that, hey, maybe the Texans might not be that bad after all, even without Deshaun Watson. Y'all played Cleveland pretty tough in the first half there on Sunday before things went sideways when Davis Mills came in. Tyrod Taylor's since been put on IR. What are your expectations going in tonight for the rookie quarterback, Davis Mills, especially going up against his Panthers defense?
He's going to struggle. I don't think there's any way around it. His first year in the league, in his first start, he's going against Hassan Riddick. You mentioned earlier, had 12 and a half sacks last year. Brian Burns, that defensive front is sick. Okay, and not only that, he doesn't have some of his – how can I put it? Security blankets out there. Yeah, Brandon Cooks will be playing, but Nico Collins will be out. Danny Amendola, who, you know, you can kind of put him on the field with any quarterback, and he'll just make his way around the field, catch passes, and do what he needs to do on the field. So he won't have Danny Amendola. He will get Anthony Miller back, but overall, in a very short week, that's the most concern. How much can he process while his first start is going to be against, right now, the number one team, defensive team in the league, only allowing 45 rushing yards per game. So a lot of us think, a lot of the fans think Houston will be able to just kind of rely on their running game. Well, the Panthers have stopped that. And they're only allowing 150 passing yards. So are we expecting a rookie to outplay Jameis? And who did you guys take on the first week?
Zach Wilson.
Another high-drafted rookie. Like Davis Mills was a third-round draft pick with limited time in college. Are we expecting him to outplay those two guys? So I think for us here in Houston, we're basically looking at after the game is over, the clock hits zero, what are some wins we can take away to build on? But I definitely think he's going to struggle tonight.
Here's the thing, too. Like, when you're looking at quarterback, Deshaun Watson, he's still on the roster. He's going to be inactive once again, week three tonight in the game. The whole situation, I'm sure y'all talk about it ad nauseum for the last 6 months, and I'm sure you're tired of talking about it. I was talking about it a lot here on Locked On Panthers. Because there's a thought, Deshaun gone to Clemson, about 2 hours down the road from Charlotte here. He would be a marketing hit if he came to the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers owner, David Tepper, is desperate for a franchise quarterback. What is the deal with that whole situation? Because you think the Texans would ever, if, say, Davis Mills goes down, and maybe even if Jeff Driskel goes down, that they might say to Deshaun, like, hey, we kind of need you to play because we don't have Tyrod, we don't have Davis Mills, and we don't have Jeff Driskel.
No. That's not going to happen, because what a lot of people fail to realize, that part of the reason why Deshaun Watson isn't playing right now is because he's kind of unplayable due to the off-field issues that he has going on, you know. And look, say what you want about Deshaun. I don't know if he's innocent or guilty, but at the end of the day, this is 2021. And if the Texans put Deshaun out there on the field, especially when you consider the fact that he don't want to be here, it's going to cause a major – It's going to cause a major problem all over the place. Plus, I really do believe that's part of the reason why the NFL has not stepped in and put him on the commissioner exempt list, because every time you look at a situation that a player gets in trouble, i.e. the Ezekiel Elliott situation or the Ben Roethlisberger situation, those guys wanted to play. Deshaun doesn't want to play for this organization. You know, and I know there's a lot of people around here like, well, you have Deshaun Watson practicing every single day. Why is he still on the roster? Look, here's the deal. Deshaun Watson is still on this 53-man roster, but he is not really practicing with the team. He is inside the building every single day. He is going to meetings, but every time the Texans and their 53, which technically is 52, every time those players go out there on the field and start practicing and getting ready for games, he is nowhere to be found on the field. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Tuesday morning, me and some of the other media members actually had an opportunity to see Deshaun go through his own individual workouts on a practice field. And that is actually what he has been doing on the field. Any on-field activity, he is by himself doing it alone. And when the team comes out there, he's back inside the building. He's going to meetings. He's going to, you know, film review and stuff. And it's one of those situations where it sounds weird, but at the end of the day, it's more to whether or not the Texans can trade him, because the reason why the Texans and Deshaun is in this situation is because of his off-field actions. Plain and
simple. It's kind of wild. Like, this dude like refuses to play when we have no idea, depending on the 22 lawsuits that still need to be taken care of. He's not going to be deposed until February, which basically means he's untradeable until at least that's all figured out. It is interesting to me that he is still so against playing for the Houston Texans that he's going to throw away this season, and there may never be another season that he plays in the NFL. So that's interesting. And I just one quick Deshaun thing, because you talk about he's there for the meetings. Is he a part of the game plan at all in terms of trying to help out Davis Mills prepare for tonight? Do you know that?
Yeah, he's like anytime, at least from what we've been told, and, you know, especially from what we've been able to see throughout training camp, because I remember there was a time, it was one day, Davis Mills looked terrible in practice. He threw like four interceptions or whatever.
One time?
And there was a moment, well, multiple times, but for this particular moment, he threw like two or three interceptions, and Deshaun Watson did call him over and was like giving him pointers and stuff. And from what everything we've been told, you know, asking about how much of a help Deshaun Watson has been to not just Davis Mills, but also to Tyrod Taylor. I actually had an opportunity to ask Tim Kelly this back in training camp. And he said that, you know, he described Deshaun Watson as an open book. You know, he said he's been very helpful to Davis Mills. But at the end of the day, you know, Deshaun Watson could tell Davis every single trick in the book, and it's not going to help him for tonight's game. It's just a weird situation. It's an unfortunate situation. We are all tired of talking about the Deshaun Watson situation, but it's going to be an ongoing thing until they find a trade partner to ship him off.
Right, and at the very least, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, as that's the reports, he's going to be out the hamstring. You can find out whether you have a potential successor here in Davis Mills. And I feel bad for Tyrod. Mm-hmm. Every time the dude gets an opportunity to be the starter, he either gets bumped out for Nathan Peterman, or he has a doctor put the syringe into his lungs and he has a collapsed lung, or he gets hurt with the hamstring after looking pretty damn good the first 2 weeks of the season. Now, the offensive line was a problem for many years there in Houston. Y'all traded what I think was way too much to Miami to bring Laremy Tunsil. Is that fixed? to go up against the Panthers front tonight to at least give Davis Mills an opportunity to throw the football, which we have yet to see from either Zach Wilson or Jameis Winston with their respective offensive lines first 2 weeks?
Fixed is a word that I would probably not use right now, but progressing is. And I say progressing because you mentioned how hard it was for the entirety of the better part of last decade to really get offensive linemen, not only in town, but kind of grow them a little bit. Now, the one reason why that was the case was because of one guy, and one guy only, and that was Mike Devlin. Who's best friend? Bill O'Brien's best friend. They both out the door. But Mike Devlin had been the offensive line coach for Houston for he spent time, a lot of time here in Houston, and he failed tremendously, miserably. However, whatever adjective, verb you want to use, he never did a good job of allowing or getting his offensive lineman to the next level. That was never the case. Now that he's gone, James Campen has stepped in, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've seen a difference. Not only have I seen a difference in the offensive line play individually, but I will say that the play calling has helped the offensive line out as well. When we went against the Browns, you saw a lot of our tight ends when we were in a 12-man personnel, chip block, pull block as well, and some of those play actions or run plays in order to help out that offensive lineman. In the past, it was your guy versus my guy, and we're going to see who the better guy is. And 9 times out of 10, Houston lost that battle outside of Laramie Tunsil. So they're getting help. They're also progressing. Now, your question, the second part of that question is it going to be enough for tonight? Well, for Laramie Tunsil, it ain't going to be no problem. Like, he just held Myles Garrett to 0 sacks. And Myles Garrett was, you know, virtually a non-threat on Sunday.
Okay.
But for Howard, Britt, Sharpen, Cannon, they will have their hands full. And I definitely see this game not getting out of hand, but your front seven will affect Houston's front five or the 12-man personnel, our front seven, with our offensive linemen and tight ends.
Yeah, I have no concerns about that at all. But, yeah, Laramie Tunsil was pretty nice shutting down Myles Garrett, one of the best defensive ends in the league. One last question before we take a quick break here for y'all. Looking defensively, I'm kind of interested in what y'all got over there. Like we were talking about on the previous segment, we're looking at the Panthers. Y'all asked me about Sam Darnold. He hasn't really faced much of a threat so far with the Jets being a terrible defense and the Saints missing so many key defensive pieces, especially in the secondary. I love what Justin Reed offers. I don't think he gets talked about enough in the National Football League. He's one of the top safeties out there. I like the Christian Kirksey signing. He was pretty good in Cleveland, played well last year when he was in Green Bay. Gruyere Hill, I don't know how to say his last name, but he's a solid player. What do you think this Texans defense might be able to offer to present some sort of challenge for Sam Darnold in his first road start as a Carolina Panther?
I think Darnold may actually have an easier game, man. Justin Reed won't be playing. Terrence Mitchell won't be playing due to concussion. So Reed has been the anchor for this defense, causing turnovers, whether it be in the air or forced fumbles. He won't be playing, and he's a leader out there. He is the quarterback for that defense. When you're missing somebody like him, that really helps out the next guy, which is Sam Darnold in his offense. Overall, Houston's defense this year from preseason, offseason, OTAs, and the first couple of games of the year have been based on turnovers. And Houston has done a very good job of that. Since preseason in the first two games, I believe Houston has forced 16 turnovers combined. And that's what Lovie Smith wants. But when you don't have your quarterback out there or key guys or players that are still trying to learn that role, like we're going to see a lot more of Lonnie Johnson tonight. We're going to see a lot of more other guys that are going to have to step up that hasn't been playing that much. Then if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm looking at it like, okay, this is one of the games where I'm playing a very competitive defense. I should be able to go out there and put some numbers out with these guys out. And I think that's something you guys in Carolina should be looking at. Like, if he doesn't go out there and put numbers up with key guys out, okay, then the future for right now may look good, but in the future he may not be our quarterback. But overall, this defense has been set around creating turnovers, and they've done that. But now they're going to be expected to do the same thing without the players that they need on the field to do that job.
And I would say to that point, the Texans defensive line has looked good as well. This is a weakened defense. As John just alluded to, Justin Reed, Terrence Mitchell, those guys will not be playing. But majority, if not all, of the Texans' top defensive linemen will be playing. Charles Aminihu, Jacob Martin, Ross Blacklock, the rookie Roy Lopez. Those guys has looked really good. The only thing I do hate about that is this is going to be the second game in a row the Texans will be without Vincent Taylor. So even then, the defensive line is going to be a little bit weakened, you know. I think the Texans were on the verge of shocking a lot of people for this upcoming season. But, you know, it just seems like this team isn't good projection is still going to be the reality of the situation. But that's only going to be due to the injuries.
Yeah, I will say. Go ahead.
I will say that I think Malik Collins will have a good game tonight. He had a good game against Cleveland. He does a very good job on the defensive front, squeezing that offensive line, making plays. So I think he will have a good game considering the guard position issues that you guys have.
Yeah, and that, if the Panthers can be had, it's definitely on the offensive line against a pretty stout defensive line. So talking about you missing some guys in secondary, having your defensive line players for the most part being healthy, that could potentially create a problem for Carolina. And you guys talk about your team overall, like John McClain, your guy down there in Houston, Chronicle, longtime columnist, he was saying a couple weeks ago that the Texans have a lot of dudes on one-year deals who are trying to prove it. So maybe Houston might not be as bad moving forward as a lot of people thought coming into the season. We'll take a quick pause here. Then on the side, talk about some key takeaways and keys to the game and give our game predictions for tonight's Panthers-Texans matchup in Houston. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. Hey, Panther fans, it's your boy Julian Council with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Yeah, Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store, or if you have an Android for whatever reason, Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price anymore at the pump. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cashback, and there's no catch. The cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cashback on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN.
All righty, Texans and Panthers fans, as we conclude this crossover edition of Locked On Texans, it's time for us to give our predictions on how we think this week three match against the Texans and the Panthers will, what will happen in tonight's game. And look, guys, let me just go ahead and get my prediction over with. I thought this was going to be a battle of, you know, I was very excited. And you laughing, but I was very excited for this game at first because I thought that this was going to be a battle of two teams, 2-0, that whoever was going to win this was going to get the top respect around the league. Because I think we could all agree, you know, that nobody expected much from the Panthers. And, you know, given the situation with Deshaun losing J.J. Watt, nobody gave a damn about the Texans coming into this season. But, you know, because of all the injuries, I don't think it's going to be a good game, especially going out there with a rookie quarterback in Davis Mills. I have you guys winning, I hate to say it, but 27-10.
Dang, man. Y'all are real. And you thought they were going to win on Sunday against Cleveland. You said 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they was going to win because we was up, but when Tyrod hurt his hamstring injury, when Tyrod sustained his hamstring injury, they were actually in the lead. I think they was up like 14-7.
Yeah.
And the defense was looking good, and Cleveland could not get into a rhythm. And I was just like, man, plus I also had this as one of the five games I really thought the Texans could win coming into the season. But once again, I didn't know you guys were going to look this good after 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's funny. No, I mean, I've been talking to my listeners the last couple of weeks about potentially starting off 3-0. Mm-hmm. You knew we were going to get the Jets game because it's the Jets.
It's the Jets.
Week two against the Saints, being at home, it was only helped by the fact that they were displaced by Hurricane Ida, having to set up shop at TCU down there in Fort Worth. Then they looked great against New Orleans, which then kind of caused a lot of concern. But off of that, they lose their center, Eric McCoy. They lose Marshawn Lattimore. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's not playing. Of course, seven coaches get COVID, and that disrupts their whole entire week, where last week was kind of like, you can't lose to New Orleans. You've lost 9 of 10, so you got to win this one, considering all the circumstances of the past. This is the best chance you've had in 5 years to beat the Saints. Drew Brees is not here. Jameis Winston looked good, but, you know, he's still Jameis. And I thought going to this game, it's like, okay, whether they had Tyrod or not, the Texans are the land of misfit free agents, basically. That's the way I looked at them coming into the season. But they've actually impressed me through the first 2 weeks, despite the loss in Cleveland last week, where they did, like you said, they were up there in the first half of the game. I think it's going to probably be a 10-point game. And it might be close, because the way things have gone the last couple weeks on Thursday Night Football, I know it's not the Cowboys and the Bucks. I know it's not a division game like last week with the football team, with the Giants. But, I mean, the NFL, like y'all know, most times it's usually a one-score game. But the fact that you're playing a rookie quarterback, I'm going to probably say Carolina wins this game 24-14.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get my prediction, man. I think 27-13. I think Davis Mills and his arm will be able to at least stretch one down the field. Get him a touchdown.
You put that in quotes, though. You say arm.
Well, he does have a good arm.
He does have a good arm, but it's just his decision-making. His decision-making is
an issue. And coming out of college, man, when I was going back and doing a lot of scouting on him, he does not do a good job of reading, progressing through his reads. You can't do that against a defense, at least what we've seen in the first 2 weeks of the Carolina Panthers. Because they got pressure everywhere, the front seven and the back four. There's talent across the entire defense. You can't just sit there and look and not look at what's going on. So I see 27-13, two field goals, one touchdown, and I can see this being one of the games where Sam Darnold gets loose a little bit, kind of really start feeling himself. Yeah, I think he's like number 10 or 11. He's in the top half of QBR right now. So he's not having a bad first two games. And I think with the talent around him, which is something that he has lacked, and overall, Adam Gase should never be another head coach in this league ever again. Adam Gase should actually never be a coordinator, in my opinion, ever again in the NFL. And on top of that, I don't think – anybody that has been labeled a QB whisperer should never be a head coach ever again. Any offensive guru should never be a head coach ever again. You want to know why I say that? I'm sorry I'm going on the rant, but I'm going to do it. I'm saying it because you know who we had here in Houston? A quote-unquote offensive guru.
But he was better than Adam Gates. Come on.
B.O.B. And B.O.B. should get the playoffs a decent amount of times.
Yeah, you know what? He did. But Andrew Luck also sustained some of the worst stretch of his career during that time. Jacksonville was Jacksonville. It took Rick Smith to say, screw what y'all doing. I'm about to go draft Deshaun Watson because we just had Brock Osweiler and he was ASS ass. Okay. The best version of Houston's offense we've ever seen. Guess who wasn't around? Bill O'Brien.
Well, at that point, he already developed the persona of King Bill. Once he got that persona, it was all hell from downhill.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. No QB whisper, quarterback, guru, offense, whatever you want to call it, Matt Nagy should never be a head coach in the league again. You see how bad of a job Matt Nagy is doing in Chicago with all of them? Never mind.
So you're saying Joe Brady, the OC here in Carolina, should not be getting a head coaching job?
Let's see about it. Let's see how that works out. I am complete. Okay. I mean, it's a couple of things I believe. QB whisperers and offensive gurus shouldn't be head coaches. And I also believe a side of Justin Fields. And I mean, because I saw him play before he got to Ohio State. Ohio State quarterbacks are never good in the NFL. And I also believe that offensive linemen that come from Alabama are overrated. That's my tidbit for the night.
He's laying down the facts.
Yeah, y'all want more? I can give you some more, but those are my
ain't
top
got all night. Hey man, your boy's crazy.
Funny guys, man. You could hear it right there in their voice at the end. They are not that positive about the Houston Texans going into tonight's game and throughout the rest of the season, especially with Davis Mills starting in place of the injured Tyrod Taylor. Make sure to check them out on Twitter at @CodyDavis_24. That's Cody with a T. So C-O-T-Y Davis_24. And make sure to also check out my man, John, at Some Sports Guy. That's at Some Sports Guy with two Y's there in Guy. Check those guys out as they do a fantastic job hosting the Locked On Texans podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, you can check me out again, Locked On Panthers, hosted by yours truly, Julian Council, on Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars only. Don't be a hater. And also make sure to follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, where every Friday, typically, we'll do our weekly Friday mailbag here on Locked On Panthers, where I'll answer all of your Carolina Panthers questions and really anything you want to ask me about myself, the world, or anything that comes to your mind. Please don't ever hesitate to ask. Either at me at Julian Council or DM me at Julian Council. But don't get crazy. Again, guys, appreciate your support so much. Following tonight's game, I will be recording a podcast and releasing it right then and there. So it'll be right available, I don't know, probably sometime past midnight if you're a night owl. But it'll be right there available for you whenever you wake up Friday morning so we can break down a Carolina Panthers win as they head to 3-0 against the Houston Texans. Again, thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you later tonight.